right, second recording underway, and we welcome in Jacob Light, the Brossard graduated, unfortunately, football senior quarterback. And Jacob, wow, most touchdowns all-time Brossard High School, school record, two-point conversions, rushing record season, you know, a district player of the year. Folks, we're in the presence of Brossard High School football greatness here, and happy to have you on board.
Glad to be here.
All right. As I say, we've got a list of things here to discuss. Feel free to extrapolate. Let's go way back and start at the beginning. Your dad played football at Bellevue. He's built like a football player, talks like a football player. Did this influence your decision to play football from the time you were a little guy growing up?
Ever since I was little, I liked watching football, but my mom wasn't the biggest fan. So in sixth grade...
Oh, she's a Neltner. They're all rough and tumble.
Yeah, so in sixth grade, I decided to go play for the Thunder, which was a team in Boone County. Me and Thomas Sayers played, and that's where it all started.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question. Did you play youth football outside of our program or for the Colts?
Sixth grade is when I started in that league, and then seventh grade I went to the Colts.
Okay, so you are a product, basically, of our Colts program, which is primarily seventh and eighth graders. Were you the star back then? Were you the guy? Could you see that you had a real bright future in football at that time, or were you just one of the guys?
I was just one of the guys. I'd say I was probably Jed Martin that was the star.
All right. That's a good comparison. We're going to talk about Jed here a little bit later, which leads into my next question. If Brossard would not have had football, all right, would you have come and played other sports, or would you have gone elsewhere to pursue football?
I probably would have stayed here and played basketball all the way through.
Yeah, you're a Neltner deep down in your heart, which is a Brossard family, and we're very, very happy to have you. Coming into the high school, into high school football, did you set any personal goals or have any vision for your future at that time?
Not really. I just wanted to get on the field as quick as I could and see how I could help this program out.
And, you know, back then, of course, we did not have the MAC. You know, we were playing, I guess, over at Bob Jones or Bob Miller Stadium. And, you know, those were a bit of tough times your first couple of years. All right, as a sophomore, you're the starting running back. Trevor Shadler, the heir apparent to the quarterback position, gets hurt, hurts his shoulder, and the two of you basically switch roles. I'd be curious to know, did you welcome the opportunity to be the team's quarterback as a sophomore, or would you have been more secure, I guess would be the question, at running back?
When Coach Wiggins asked me, I remember we were in the Firehouse parking lot. He asked me what I would think about being a quarterback. I was kind of nervous at first, but I always take on a challenge. I was like, why not? See what happens. And then, yeah, that's where it all started, sophomore year.
You know, ever since you've been a sophomore, you have blessedly and fortunately, unless I've missed something, avoided serious time loss injuries. And you are durable. I've always referred to you, if you listen to my broadcast replays, as being durable, the ever-ready rabbit. You just keep going. You've got this knack. You hit, you spin, you turn, you maintain. But, man, you still take some bone-jarring hits and crashes. What do you credit that to? How do you think that you were able to go 3 years playing the quarterback without, you know, losing, having any time loss injuries?
Well, I think most of it, my toughness comes from my dad. He was like that back in high school. And then just the off-season workouts and strengthening and conditioning and all that, keeping my body in good shape for the season.
Last year, the COVID, we don't get to start till late. The season starts late. Carson Shermer comes out because we can't be having basketball practice workouts at that time. So, you know, he gives you a lift, and I'll never forget the night at Nicholas County, cold. I'm over standing on what I've referred to as the gallows. We're going to three overtimes. A pass is made by Letcher to the end zone, and Carson comes out of nowhere, intercepts the pass. We win and earn home court district championship game advantage.
Yeah, that was a crazy night, long game. Just team stuck with it, didn't give up, and ended up pulling out the dub.
Okay, but then the next follow-up question was, how devastating was it to have that district championship game canceled just hours before kickoff on a perfect night for football, and have that season, the careers of our seniors in your junior year, come to such an abrupt end?
Yeah, that was pretty tough. Nicholas was coming in shorthanded. We were full health, probably going to win the game, and it just snatched right from us about 2 hours before the game.
You know, and it was snatched because of a precaution. Now, if you talk to 50 people, 50 people are going to give you different opinions and stuff, but there were guidelines. The guidelines needed to be followed. Covington Catholic was playing Highlands that same night, and I asked Bobby Rowe, I said, if the same situation would have occurred at Covcath, would you have forfeited that game to Highlands? And Bobby looked at me, rolled his eyes, grinned, and turned and walked away. So, you know, it's just a matter. Maybe we're still growing pains. Maybe we're under a spotlight just a bit. But Paul Wiggins talks about how tough that was to walk down into the fieldhouse that night and have to tell those seniors that their career was over and they were not going to get to play.
Yeah,
that championship game.
I felt really bad for those guys.
And, you know, I got a call the next morning from the head coach. Greg Letcher was the assistant, longtime head coach. You know, and we talked for 15 minutes. He called me, I guess because he had my phone number. But, you know, he expressed his, you know, displeasure or his disappointment that we didn't get to play that one, and he wanted to make sure that our guys knew that there was, when that was announced on the bus, that they were going to turn around, go home, and that they had won the district, that there was no celebration, there was no, wow, you know, okay, look what we've accomplished. They wanted to come play the ball game as well.
Yeah, I respect that out of them.
All right, be honest. Coming into this season, after we had graduated a bunch of quality seniors, including Cody Orth and McCormick and Trevor Shadler, coming into this season, what were your expectations for your senior year in the Brossard Mustangs 2021 season?
My expectations were, I thought we were going to have a pretty good season. I didn't think we were going to get a 12-0, but my main goal was to win that district championship and get back to where we should have been last year.
All right, we start the season. You know how Dayton, or Jamie Herbst, has got all these kids out, a lot of hype, and with what we had lost and with Trevor no longer in the backfield, you know, I thought that game might be a challenge, but we won 28-0. The next week, it's raining, pitchforks, hammer handles. We're at Newport. We fumble the ball. Bad goes the worst. We're trailing. But the defense shut them out the rest of the way, and we beat Newport at Newport under adverse conditions. We'll talk about, I'm going to jump ahead or jump back just a little bit. Let's talk about Jed Martin. I've watched Jed Martin since he was a little guy. And Jed Martin was the caboose. I won't call him the runt of the Martin family, but he wasn't the big, broad-shouldered, deep-voiced lineman or defensive player. Jed Martin was out of a little bit of a different mold. Never, ever did I think that Jed Martin could replace Trevor Shadler. What did you know about him that I didn't? That he'd be joining you and the two of you would become 1,000-point yard rushers that season?
I've known Jed since around 6th, 7th grade, and ever since I met him, I just knew he was a tough kid, would do anything for anyone no matter what, and he was just going to do what he could to the best of his ability.
And did it well, as I said. You know, Paul talks about he's tough to bring down. He runs low to the ground, you know, but wow, you know, overachieve is a word that sticks in my mind, but I'm not at practice every day. I watched him come up, and I thought, boy, we're going to lose that quick strike ability that Trevor Shadler had. But now, talk to me a little bit about your offensive line.
All credit to them. Me and Jed don't get those awards, those rushing yards, all that good stuff without the blocking of the O-line, and they don't get the credit that they deserve, but they did a lot for us.
You know, you orchestrated drives in 65, 64, 81. One was 90-some yard time-consuming multiple play drives. And you not only did it once or twice, you did it on a regular basis. What do you credit your ability to take that football back at the 20-yard line with 80 yards of real estate out front and be able to march that ball club all the way down and score a touchdown?
I just credit all the guys around me with them putting it, especially with the offensive linemen, them blocking for that long, the guys around me making plays, Jed running the ball. It really opens up a lot of opportunities for me to take off and run, to hit passes, just keep getting first downs and keeping the drive alive.
All right, you said that you did not expect to go 12-0. Believe me, the odds in Vegas, we could have all got rich by betting that the Mustangs would go 12-0 this past year. But when you take them one at a time, all of a sudden anything is possible. At what point in the season did you become confident that you could run the table?
Well, actually, shout out to Caleb Lukes. Before the season even started, he said that we
God
would,
love Caleb he, Lukes.
He
I'm
said that we would go undefeated, and no one really believed him. But after that Lloyd game where we were down in the fourth quarter and final drive, we score a touchdown, they get the ball back, we get a fumble, recover it, chew the clock out, that's when I knew that this team was really good and that we could really run the table.
And we did. To me, it was when we got past the Erlanger-Lloyd game. You know, you guys are youngsters. You were, you know, I mean, you don't know anything about our 2A days. But, you know, I've been following football. I went over to Campbell County back in the 60s to what was then just Campbell County High School football field for a playoff game. It was 14 degrees, and they were playing Bryan Station. And Prosser didn't have football, so if we didn't have a dance on Friday night, I'm over at Campbell County rooting for the Camels. I knew their fight song better than ours. I knew their alma mater better than ours. But then all of a sudden, Prosser starts football, and now we're competing with Erlanger Lloyd. I always had respect for Lloyd, considered them a blue-collar program. And while they were probably the closest competition that we had in 2A, you know, they never lost to single-A schools. They still haven't. So for us to beat them and put them back on the bus and send them home, I think that was the point for me that I looked at the schedule and said, God damn, I think we can do this.
Yeah, that was a big win for us. Big confidence booster, pushing us forward.
No doubt. All right. How cool is it to play at home on a perfect September weather night, to run through the tunnel, out through the smoke, and carry those flags and run onto the field at the Met?
It's like no other thing you could think of. Just sends chills through your body when I think about it.
And I'm sure it does. It sends chills through my body watching you guys do that. Now, that's one side of the coin. And then, you know, we're going to play football that night and the ball game transpires. On the other side of the coin, how tough is it, you know, playing in the mud? Because I asked you after the Paris game, I said, how much fun was that playing in the mud? I thought you were going to say, Chops, I ate that up. I had the time of my life. But the answer you gave me somewhat surprised me. And with your very stern, serious look on your face, you said there was nothing about playing that game that was fun. So everything isn't the dry artificial turf surface at the MAC. You also have to play in the mud or in the rain, as you did down at Newport. you practice on that practice field on cold, wet nights under artificial lights down on that practice field. You know, that's the price that you pay, I guess, to run through the smoke, carry the flags out on the field on Friday nights.
Yeah, it was really different when we went down to Paris, not getting any traction anywhere, no one, linemen slipping all over the place, not blocking. Everyone's slipping down. It was just a really tough night.
I got on my buddy Puck, and I said, now don't tell me you didn't hear the Paris fire trucks out here watering this field. Yeah. But the thing was, there was one half of the field that was a little better than the other half, but that was a total quagmire. You know, it's threatening rain. We're up on the roof of the press box, and we can't read anybody's numbers. And, you know, I credit my partner, Mike Shack, because people sitting at home, I tell him, they're going to believe whatever we tell them, so let's try to hit the highlights. And we were able to come out of there with a win. Now, I'm going to refer back to that game here in a minute, but let's move on. On the broadcast, I often refer to you as Harry Potter. What are your thoughts on that particular persona?
I don't think I've ever read a Harry Potter book in my life. But
so you like the dark rimmed glasses, you like the quiet, just, you know, you remind me so much of Harry Potter that, you know, I kind of gave you that link. I'm sure it'll never stick as a nickname for the rest of your life, but there are certain things that hit me, and one of the things were that occasionally I would say, a.k.a. Harry Potter, you know, and refer to you as Harry Potter. So, okay, so you don't have any thoughts on being called Harry Potter. All right, let's move ahead. What's your pregame mentality? Let's talk about it. You go to school on a Friday afternoon. We're going to play over at the MAC. It's a tough ball game against a tough opponent. You know, you get there plenty early. You go through warm-ups. Now you're back down in the field house. Which has been a blessing to us, incidentally, and getting ready for the ball game. Are you nervous? Do you feel pressure? Or do you have total, absolute confidence that you're going to go out there and do a optimum job as quarterback of the Mustangs?
Usually when we're in the field house, I'm usually pretty confident. And then once we run through that tunnel and we get on the sideline, that's when the nerves start to kick through. But then when we're on the sideline and we start running in to go play, then it starts to go away, and I feel like I'm ready to go out there and win the game for us.
We're blessed to have huge fan support in the student section when you're out there. Now, I know some of the players, some of the linemen will turn. Caleb will try and get the crowd up and involved. But, you know, how aware are you of the crowd presence when you're out there at quarterback and it's third down and 11 yards to go and we've got to have that first down?
It's kind of weird. When you're on the field playing, usually I just don't hear, like, anything. Like, I'll hear Jed talking to me to the right, but other than that, you just don't hear anything. It's like you just completely block everything else out. And you're just,
so you can't hear Mike Shannon up there exhorting the fans to get on their feet and get that stop that we need, you know, to get a turnover or something. So it's all business.
Yep.
Very good. And I knew that I really, really felt that was the answer that you give me. How does it feel to be a multi-category school record holder, knowing that probably somebody will come along someday and knock those records down? But since we've been in the football business since 2006, you're the best in all of those categories.
I mean, none of that happens without coaches putting me in positions, linemen for the past years blocking for me, guys making plays. It's just credit to all of them for helping me out with that.
Very good. Let me see where I want to go here. All right, let's just touch on the Raceland game a minute. You know, I've been to Raceland a number of times. I was here when we played Raceland up here. Raceland is a football factory, very much like Beechwood. They are a football factory housed in a Class 1A school that had 9 reclassified players on that roster. So for me, on that ride down, I'm hoping for the best for our guys. But when we fell behind 19-0 early in the game, I thought, well, you know, we've met our Waterloo, and this is just something that we're not going to be able to overcome. But then guess what? we orchestrate a 60-yard drive. It's Jacob Light and the Mustangs like we're playing at home. We hit Jed, I guess, for the touchdown, and then we recover the onside kick. So now, all of a sudden, the people in the press box at Raceland are getting antsy. First of all, they were really upset that we had the audacity to kick an onside kick, because that's just not pure football. I kept waiting for a bottle to come flying down from the other side of the press box. Unfortunately, they stop us at the 24-yard line. They score again before the half. What if we'd scored that damn touchdown?
I think it could have been really close. I think we could have been close if we wouldn't have got down quick in the first half. A couple miscommunications, missed tackles, misreads, all that. But I think we could have kept it close to them if we would have played decent football in the first quarter.
All right, we're down to 3 minutes, okay? After playing with end zone clocks at Sayre and Raceland, would end zone clocks be helpful to the next quarterback and those quarterbacks ahead that are going to follow in your footsteps, or do you not pay attention to them? I'm good. Not pay attention to them and watch the official raise the arm knowing you got 5 seconds.
This year I've really paid attention to those officials in the back more than I have in the past. So when we went down the race, I didn't really notice that big of a difference between it. So, I mean, it just depends.
Okay, those are $5,000. I campaigned for the lighted downs marker, but those aren't a benefit to you. Those are a benefit to those of us in the press box and on the other side. Those cost $900. If I go and campaign for end zone clocks, those are $5,000 plus. We need another person in the press box to operate them. So I was just curious what effect that would have, if you think that would be a positive thing moving forward for us to install at the MAC. So you basically said that it's a combination of watching the official as much as watching the clocks. All right. What advice would you give youngsters out there considering becoming a Brossard football Mustang?
Just push through it. If you just work your hardest, you'll get to somewhere. You never know where you're going to end up, so just work hard, put all your effort in, and you'll get somewhere.
All right. Well, I think we pretty much pushed through it, and here's the last question I'm going to ask you. It's the superior athlete in the senior class. As you sit here and have played basketball before, and you're watching the two teams out in front of you warm up, do you ever get the itch to play basketball?
Yes, I do.
All right, I'm happy to hear that. All right, very, very good. You know, I mean, you can't be everything for everybody. You have had a spectacular season. And any offers or any aspirations of playing in college?
No, me and Jed went on a visit to MSJ and watched the game. But other than that, not really. I don't really want to play in college.
Well, hopefully you'll come back and serve as a coach or in some capacity with our program. Thank you very, very, very much for stopping by. Great conversationalist, and I appreciate having you. Best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jacob Light, the quarterback of the 12-1 Brossard football Mustangs. At this time, I'm going to stop that recording, and we will begin a new one.